This episode is brought to you by ProPulse Speed Trainers, created by the mad scientist himself, David Weck. Now, in my 20-plus years of evaluating athletes, there was always one thing that I could look at and tell you if this athlete was going to be sick or if they were going to be an R-coordinated mess. And I could tell you that in about 5 seconds. And what was it? It was the way their upper bodies moved in sync with their lower bodies. If they were in complete and total sync, I knew the athlete was going to be sick. And you've always heard, look at this guy's arm angles. Look at the way the violent arm action, the way this guy runs. Well, those were always the best athletes. Now, what David Weck did is he created these little miniature weights that are about 12 ounces each that you can hold in your hand. And inside of those weights, he has these little beads. And when you run and when you move, when you're pumping those arms, when those weights are pumping those arms, you can actually hear with those beads if you are on the right rhythm. It's actually sending a signal to your brain to say, yep, I am in pace, I am in rhythm, and it will instantly get your upper body and lower body in sync. If you want to become like Michael Jordan, Randy Moss, LeBron James, Derek Jeter, watch these guys run, watch their sick arm angles, get yours today. Go to shop.weckmethod.com. That's shop, W-E-C-K, that's weckmethod.com. Put in the code WMA270. Again, that's WMA270. It will get you 10% off of any item that you buy. Go and get yours today. Welcome to another episode of 6 Minute Monday, where I give you 6 tips and tricks to make you more efficient and effective in the weight room, the boardroom, and on a football field. And I'm going to give you a recap of what happened at this weekend's Tag Team Challenge. So tip number one, it's an exercise tip. It has to do with improving your vertical jump. And I picked this up while I was training with my ProPulse speed trainers. Now, most people, when they do a vertical jump, and this is actually a pretty good hack, you stretch your arms up as far as you possibly can before the jump. And for, I guess, to make this as simple as possible, you want to feel a stretch where your belly button is, or your hips are. You want to feel that stretch. And then you snap those arms down as fast as possible. And if you snap those arms down as fast as possible, there should be an elastic movement which drives your entire body up as far as possible in that vertical jump. Now, since I've been using my ProPulse speed trainers, what I've been doing is feeling that, or hearing that, that's a little beads inside that ProPulse speed trainer. And what I'm realizing is that I also need to throw my arms back in the air. So I got to feel them down, then back up. By not only snapping them down, but throwing them back up, I almost put my hand through the roof of my garage. Look, I'm getting old, so my vertical jump should not be going up, but I almost put my hand through the roof of my garage when I did that. So give that a shot. Not only snap them back down, but throw them both back up as you come out of the hole on that vertical jump. Okay, tip number two, something I'm experimenting with. Well, I've been thinking about my speed and my top-end speed, and I look around, I see everybody else running in cleats. Some people are running in zero shoes, but most of the guys are running in cleats or sneakers, and I'm thinking, maybe running basically barefoot is slowing me down. So maybe just for my sprints, just for my sprint days, I'll put on the one pair of good old sneakers that I had left. So I left one pair of running sneakers in my garage. So I tested it out last week. And, wow, I'll tell you this. Boy, did the bottom of my feet feel super comfortable. As they probably should, because these things are basically these big cushions that you are running on. So the bottom of my feet felt really comfortable. But, I felt like I was wearing cinder blocks on my feet. They were just so much heavier. And look, these are running sneakers. These aren't like, I'm not wearing Timberland boots here. These are running sneakers, but they felt so much heavier than my zero shoes. And while the bottom of my feet felt better during the run, my toes were killing me for 3 days after that because they were crunched up into that small toe box. And my time didn't get any better. So it seemed like maybe the benefit of having that pretty sick cushion on the bottom of your shoe and maybe better traction on the bottom of that shoe might have made me a little faster. What slowed me down was the additional weight of that sneaker. Now, look, there's 100 variables when you go sprinting in your top-end speed. It could be the ground surface that day. It could be wind blowing in your face. But overall, I think that experiment is dead. But if there's anybody out there, Mark Strange, I know you're listening to this. If there's anybody out there that can design a sneaker with a wide toe box, and maybe a little bit of a sole that you're not basically running barefoot, that would be pretty sick. Also, I believe they're designing a cleat like that. Joe Derodita had directed me to those people. Maybe I'm going to have a custom cleat made. I'm just a little worried because my feet are really weird. But anyway, that was my experiment, and it wasn't good. Okay, tip number three. A quote that I am thinking about. I got this from Francis Council Magno during one of our mastermind groups, and it's really sticking in my head. It said, "Don't be Superman in the office and Clark Kent at home." I'll say that one again. Don't be Superman in the office and Clark Kent at home. Now, for people that don't know what that means, or people that don't even know who Superman is, first off, how could you not? But Clark Kent is the alter ego of Superman, and Clark Kent is really not that high of a performer. And the bottom line is don't be so awesome while you're at work and then come home and give nothing to your family. Clark Kent, He's not a good journalist at all. So don't come home and be a terrible dad, a terrible husband, a terrible son, a terrible brother when you're the best in the office. Thank you, Francis Consmagno, for that gem. Tip number four, something I am watching that's moving me. As can be expected, I am watching Physical 100. And there's two things that stick out to me. And I'm going to selfishly say this right now. The things that stick out are that the guys in advanced training, if I put them through some of these challenges, they'd probably complain about them. Because the guys in advanced training, many o time, these, I guess I'll call them the, I don't know who they are. What I won't say what their names are. But I will say that people will say, listen, this thing used to be just about being physical. And it used to be just about brawn. And now you've added brains into it. But there's two challenges, and I'm not even close to being done with this thing, that included a lot of aspects of what we do. So the one I'm watching right now is they're inside of a mine, and they have to push these carts, these giant wagons. They have to push them across this train track or this mine track, this rail. They have to get these things on the rail. Then they have to connect these wagons together. Then they have to push them, and then they have to load them with weight. Now, I haven't even finished the episode. I'm like, they're still explaining the drill. I'm not even finished knowing what's going to happen in this episode. All I know is that that thing is actually very similar to some of the challenges where we had, where you have to take a chain, attach it to a sled, pull the sled. Then people have said, oh, that's a stupid drill. But now here it is on Physical 100, where they have to add some form of dexterity, some form of thinking under pressure, and they have to move heavy weight all at the same time. Then the other challenge that's sticking in my head, it was they had all of these weights in the middle of a maze. These heavy sandbags in the middle of a maze. Some of them were heavier than others. And they had to figure out how to get these sandbags out and put them in this balance. There was these weighted balances. There was three different ones in this maze. And your team, they had two teams of five competing with each other. And they had to figure out how, within a 15-minute period, could they win two of the three weighted scale sections. So there's three scales sitting around this maze. And each team can throw as many bags as they want in each one of these scales. And you only have to win two out of the three in that 15-minute period. So there's a lot of strategy involved with this. Not only was it about how do you take the weights or these weighted sandbags and put them in the bags? Do we put all of our people on one scale? Do we divide our troops and conquer? What do we do? But also, which bags do you take, the heavy bag or the light bag? Can you carry that many bags? Who do you put on each station? And again, I don't want to ruin the show for anybody, but there's a lot of those elements that go on in advanced training. I'd say there's a lot of those elements that even go on in business, in military strategy, in football coaching strategy, that it's not just about brawn at this point or speed. There really is a lot of strategic movements that have to go on. Not only with the way you're planning it out, but how you actually make your team move, and then how do you adjust on the fly, because guess what? Your opponent has a choice too. You may have this plan, but maybe your opponent has a plan that's now countered your plan. So there's really a lot of brilliant things to this. And again, men in advanced training, at least in my mind, this is why we do what we do. This is why we do what we do. All right, I'm not going to say any more about Physical 100. I probably will another time, but I don't want to ruin the show for anybody that hasn't watched it. Okay, tip number five, it's a productivity tip, and it's actually another quote that I've been thinking about. Yes, this is the second quote of the day, but it kind of links to productivity, and it says, when a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure. I'll say that one again. When a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure. So, in terms of your productivity, say you say, I can't get stuff done. I can't focus. I'm not productive. I want you to think about what you're doing when you're not being productive. For example, imagine it's the end of the day and you had three things that you were supposed to get done and you didn't get any of them done. Well, what did you do that wasn't or that weren't those three things? If it was scrolling through Instagram, if it was mindlessly watching TV shows, If it was something that really wasn't adding value to your life and it was only for immediate pleasure, then maybe it is the priorities that you have, the things that you are supposed to do, maybe they don't have enough meaning for you. I know for me, when things are important, like super important, everything else is a distraction. Everything else is a distraction. But that quote, that productivity tip, it's really made me reflect on either the things that I'm doing are too hard or I'm too scared to do them, or they don't have the right meaning in my life and I'm not pressed to do them. And honestly, if I have the right meaning in my life, nothing's getting in my way. All those other pleasure things I'm putting on the back burner, unless I'm being forced to do it for a societal issue. It's a family party. I gotta do something. It's an obligation that I have, but otherwise nothing's getting in my way. Okay, tip number six. There is no tip number six. I don't have the strangest thing I saw all week. Maybe it'll be part of what happened at this weekend's Tag Team Challenge. So here we go. Tag Team Challenge. What was it? Maybe this is the strangest thing I saw all week. I don't know. So the Tag Team Challenge, as I was secretly alluding to in last week's podcast, was an homage to something that happened on Physical 100 last year called the Punishment of Sisyphus. So our version of the Punishment of Sisyphus was that you would have two teams lined up on the field. They would have, each team would have a 30-yard length of sliders to do. Each team would have one guy go at the same exact time, and they have to get those 30-yard sliders done in 20 seconds. When they are done, the next guy on that 30-second mark will go. So every 30 seconds, on the 30-second mark, someone from each team is going to do a set of 30-second sliders. Sorry, 30-yard sliders. That is a foreshadowing to what I'm going to talk about in a little bit. So again, I'll explain the drill. You have a 30-yard length of sliders that the teams have to go through. Every 30 seconds, on the 30-second mark, two guys from each team are going to go 30 yards with their sliders. They have to get it done in 20 seconds. They have to get it done in 20 seconds. If you don't get it done in 20 seconds, you are out. Your team's not out, but you are out. And now, but again, every 30 seconds, on the 30 seconds, somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go. And it's just like paying your taxes. You got to pay your taxes. It doesn't matter how you're getting the money. You got to pay your taxes. The same thing. Every 30 seconds, on the 30-second mark, somebody's got to go. But as guys get tired, as guys get fatigued, as they have to go back and transition to the next step, guys are going to get plucked off one by one because they have to get there in 20 seconds. They have to get there in 20 seconds. And each team has two sets of sliders. So if person A, let's say that person's name is Joe. Joe goes, he does his set of sliders. Boom, he's done. He gets it done in 15 seconds. He lives to fight another round. At the 30-second mark, the next guy on his team is already standing there with a set of sliders on his feet, and he goes at the 30-second mark, and he has to do that in 20 seconds. And if he gets it done in the 20 seconds, he gets to fight another round inside of this Punishment of Sisyphus, whatever the guy's name is. Anyway, the first guy, Joe, while that other 30 seconds is going on, say the second guy in his group is also named Joe, right? So the first Joe goes, the second Joe goes. Well, the first Joe, he has to bring those sliders back to the next guy who's on deck waiting, that third guy in the group. So that is the Punishment of Sisyphus. What makes a team have an advantage in this drill or not? Well, one of the advantages is clearly could be having a lot of people. The more people you have, the more of a break you're going to get. If you have 10 people that show up that day, when after you go and say you make it, there's still going to be 9 people in between you and your next round. That's 9 sets of 30 seconds. That's a long break. If you have 3 people that show up that day, you go, and then there's a minute break before you got to go again. That's 2 people of 30 seconds before you have to go again. So having more people will clearly give you an advantage in this drill. What else will give you an advantage? If you're really good at sliders. So if you're really good, if your team is not going to get plucked off in 20 seconds, one by one, in the first or second round, then you're going to have an advantage. So those are the two things that would work in your favor this week. Now, there's something else, but I'm not even going to mention it. I don't even want to talk about it, but those are two of the things that I will highlight that will give you the advantage in this week's challenge. The craziest thing is that this was the lowest turnout of people we had for the entire year. So a challenge that would absolutely really help you. It would really help you if you did this challenge. We had the lowest number of people we had the entire year at training. So I think we have like 20-something guys signed up to be part of the program. We had a whopping 7 people show up, and one of them was late. So what do we do? Well, the Golden Company, they have 4 guys. They got Shalasi, Baraji, Armato, and Derradita. So they got 4 guys. And then you got the dudes. You got Galley, Wallen, and Cortese. And Galley was late. Galley showed up 15 minutes late to training. So what was my thought? Okay, I'm not going to keep Galley out of this because he did come to training. He was 15 minutes late. But with the sliders, I'm going to force him to do a single leg slider. A single leg slider. So we go. The Golden Company has 4 guys. The dudes have 3 guys. And one of them, I'd basically say it's 2.5 guys because Galley is only able to do single leg sliders. So we go through the first round. Everybody clears it in under 20 seconds. As we got to the second round, I may or may not, I'll just say it, I was starting to let guys hit the time frame in 30 seconds versus 20 seconds. Why? Because I'm a moron. Too many things were going through my head. In complete and total transparency, and I'm looking at Galley doing it on one leg, and I'm flashing back to last year in the same challenge when he tweaked his shoulder doing the drill. So Galley's had a history of separated shoulders. He tweaked his shoulder. After that, he had started his relationship with Dr. Rob, and he came back strong, and he's still going strong, and I fully trust what him and Dr. Rob are doing. But I'm thinking to myself as he's doing it, am I an idiot? Am I putting this guy in a bad spot? Should I allow him to go 2 legs? As I'm thinking this, I'm now losing track of the fact that I should be looking to see if these guys made it in 20 seconds or not, and I'm just giving them a 30-second mark. And I know at least one guy, Galley, I let him clear it. I think it took him 20-something seconds on like his second or third rep, and I let him clear it. And I should not have done that. He basically got a free pass. My mistake. The only reason I picked it up was a guy later, Rob Wallen from the dudes, he's like, clears it in like 22 seconds. I'm like, good job. And Shalasi says, coach, he should be out. And I'm like, oh, crap. I screwed this whole thing up. So Wallen's out. Wallen's out. Now they're down to 2 guys. The next guy up for the Golden Company, Derradita, he goes. And now he's out. Bang. They're down to 3 guys. Armato goes for the Golden Company. Bang. He's out. Now the Golden Company's down to 2 guys. So Galley, Cortese goes. He makes it. I think Shalasi goes, he makes it. I might be screwing up who makes it. But then Galley goes again, he's out, and now it's just Cortese who's left. And Cortese can't even get back to the start line in time. He can't get back to the start line in time. Remember, he goes, he stands back up. Galley can't make it anymore in his single leg slider. Cortese, that means he has to get all the way back to the start line in 30 seconds to go again. He can't even get there. Baraji goes. Baraji finishes in like 19.8 seconds. Cortese falls to the ground, and the Golden Company wins. So, did I screw up? Yes. Why? I'm a moron for 100 different reasons. But great call out by Shalasi, and I would also say great maturity by the teams, both teams, to realize my mistake at that point, didn't matter. Would it matter in a different situation? Yes, I'm a moron. I need to clean that up. I need to fix that. But they were wise enough to say, look, in this situation, it really didn't matter because you were letting everybody go past 30 seconds. And then you kind of like basically just kind of changed the rules in the middle of the event. So it went from like 30-second clearance to 20-second clearance. I'll say this. It happened at the right moment because as I got back to the 20-second clearance time, guys started to drop. And I think it's easy the first round. The first round, pretty much everybody in our group can get 30 yards of sliders in 20 seconds. The second round, it's a little harder. And the third round, it's really hard. It's really hard, especially when you have no break. The last time we did this, I think we might have had like 8 guys on one team, 7 on another. Now we got 2.5 on one group and 4 on the other. So not an easy thing to do. Also, the ground was scorched earth. The sliders were hard for me during the workout, and we were going 10 yards. So for these guys, I couldn't imagine how to keep repping this out over and over and over again. So thank you, Shalasi, for calling this out. If we did it for 30 seconds, I'm pretty sure the same result would have happened soon, especially with guys just wearing out anyway. But anyway, let's get back to what happened. So Golden Company wins. Now they have to pick two people to go head-to-head from the dudes. They can't pick Cortese. He's already eliminated. He can't go anymore. So the only people they can pick are who's left. It's Wallen and it's Galley. And what is the challenge this week, the head-to-head challenge? The head-to-head challenge is taking a 110-pound farmer's walk and running around the big circle in the middle of the field with it. The two rules are, one of the rules was you can't go inside the circle, which neither guy did. Awesome. The other rule was that I was allowing them to pick in which direction they wanted to go. So they could pick it up with one hand, two hands, I don't care. But they can either go starting off to their right or off to their left. They both chose to start off to their left. And I think they both chose to carry that farmer's walk in that their right hand. So Wallen, a guy who historically has struggled with the farmer's walk a long while ago, he like pulled something in his back and then he came to training and he went to go do the farmer's walk and it kind of tweaked his back again. So I apologize. I'm like, wow, this is a bad situation, but you just got the bad luck of the draw. This is like not your expertise here. But the guy picks up the farmer's walk with one hand and sprints around the field with it and finishes in 24.9 seconds. Like, he absolutely kills it. So sick job, Wallen. I don't know if you're like, you know, playing possum for everybody in the crew, but when put to the test, that's a pretty sick job. Galley goes up next, and he finishes in 19.2 seconds. So Wallen loses to Galley. Galley gets his, let me just look at these numbers here to make sure I'm fact-checking myself here. Galley gets his seventh win on the season. Galley gets his seventh win on the season. He now has 22 points, and he is the number one seed. If the playoffs started today, Galley gets a nice bye, and he has 22 points. Wallen gets his first loss, and now the Golden Company, they get there. Let me check this out. I think they are 5-3 at this point. Yes, they are 5-3, so they're at a three-game winning streak. As Cortese said, advanced training, it's all about momentum. So they are at a three-game winning streak, coming after a five-game losing streak. This may give some hope to the New York Mets fans out there. All right, shots fired. Anyway, if we talked about the top four guys right now, top 4 point guys. We got Galley with 22. Shalasi's the number 2 rank with 17. Armato's the number 3 rank with 16. And Baraji is the number 4 rank with 15. All of those guys would get a bye if the playoffs started today. And just as a reminder, even though it's a Sweet 16 bracket that puts us, those are the playoff structures that we have for advanced training, we only let 12 people in. Only the top 12 people in advanced training will make those playoffs. And right now, that ends with Fred Carpentieri. So right now, Fred Carpentieri is the 12th seed. Everybody below Carpentieri on that list, Maresco, Hezdra, Mulligan, Alberino, Colombo, Yurchek, DeBonda, Amorosi, Blanco, Maggio, all of you guys, if the playoffs started today, would not be in the playoffs. So we need some form of a comeback. We're probably at the midway point right now. So now, let's talk about what's going to happen at next weekend's Tag Team Challenge. Yes, I'm going to tell you the actual challenge. So, the challenge is going to be, there are going to be 9 cones set up in a 3x3 grid format. 9 cones set up in a 3x3 grid format. In front of each cone is going to be a giant, one of those 1-foot by 1-foot memory puzzle pieces that I have. 6 of those pieces will be an actual match. That means there will be 3 sets of 2 that will match each other. There will be 3 other pieces that are not a match. So I want to thank Joe Shalasi, the guy who bailed me out in the Punishment of Sisyphus Challenge. He actually gave me this idea. So, there's going to be 9 total pieces out there, 3 that are not a match, 6 that are a match. There's going to be, it's going to be very similar to our old hunter and gatherer drill. So someone is going to be there with a prowler, and they're going to take that prowler, and they're going to loop that prowler around any one of those cones that they choose, effectively killing that cone. So they're the hunter. They go out, they kill. They're going to take that prowler back through the start point. They're going to go back through that start point. When they clear that start point, the gatherer is going to go out, and they're going to pick up that puzzle piece and bring it back. Bring it back to home base. They're going to repeat this over and over again until we have three sets of 2 pairs. Three sets of 2 pairs. Couple of little stipulations here. One, the opposing team will get to set up where they want to put those puzzle pieces. So they can strategically think where they want to put those puzzle pieces. Some puzzle pieces are going to be clearly closer to the start point than others. So now, it's legitimately a guessing game. of am I choosing the right ones? Yes, there is game strategy going on here. Will you put all the matches at the end? Will you put them at the beginning? Do you think your opponent thinks you're going to put them at the end? What are you going to do? But either way, you keep going through this process until there are three pairs in the end. And the other stipulation is that those pairs need to be next to each other. So that gatherer, whoever that gatherer is who puts that puzzle piece down, he has to organize those pieces. He has to organize those pieces so they are next to each other. I don't need to be looking all over the field. I want to see pairs next to each other in the same direction. And when they're all in the same direction, they're all next to each other, that will be when the drill is over. The other stipulation is that the start point is going to be kind of like a runway. So there's probably going to be like a prowler-wide runway, like two cones for the prowler to get through. When the prowler gets through those cones, that's when the gatherer can go and pick up one of those puzzle pieces that was killed. And the other stipulation is that while the gatherer is doing this, the next prowler person should take that prowler and turn it back around so that it's only on a high handle. This whole drill should be done with the high handle and you are ready to go, but you gotta leave room for the guy to get through, the gatherer to get back, otherwise you're going to crush him or he can't get through the hole. So these are my stipulations. Having said that, the other thing is everybody on the other team has got to go once. So everybody on the team's got to go once before somebody else goes twice. I'll say that again. Everybody on your team's got to go once before somebody else goes twice. So if by some miracle your entire team shows up and there's 12 guys there, and you just so happen to figure this thing out in your first six moves, well, you can't have the same guy go twice before somebody else goes once. And my other thought is, I don't care who your hunters are, who your gatherers are, you can make that whatever you want it to be. But everybody's got to go at least once before somebody else goes twice, and then after that, I don't care. That's it. That is what the drill is. That is what the stipulation is. If you have questions, ask me, because I may be rethinking this thing. We're about a week away. The other thing that is going to be absolutely and positively sick is that the head-to-head challenge for the losing team, the head-to-head challenge for the first time ever is also going to be a tag team challenge. That's right. I said it. It's also going to be a tag team challenge. It's going to be the same exact drill minus three of the cones and three of the puzzle pieces. So there'll be two pairs of two and two random pieces. So it'll be the same exact drill, minus three of the cones, minus three of the puzzle pieces, but only two people will perform it. One hunter, one gatherer. How will those two people be selected? Well, this is where it gets interesting. The winning team will select two losers from the losing team to go head-to-head. Two people. Then those two losers are going to do what I call the bro challenge. The bro. So in football, when you do bro motion, what is bro motion? Bro motion means you take a receiver or somebody who's not in the backfield and you call your bro in, and now you make him another running back. That's bro motion. So in this challenge, the losers, they're going to select one person of their choosing. One person of their choosing to be their partner. Their partner can be from either team, but their partner cannot have two losses because their partner needs to have some skin in the game. So they can pick whomever they think will be the best person to help them win this drill. If the partner wins, they also get a win. If the partner loses, they also get a loss. So these guys, yeah, you got to think this through right now. I'm putting all the cards on the table right now. You got to think this through. Do you want to win? Do you want to give somebody from your team points? Are you willing to win with someone else from the other team and give them points and help them make the playoffs? This is really up to you, not me. I'm just curious to see how this whole thing happens. And how will we decide who goes first in this bro challenge? Who gets to pick first? I might make this up on the spot right now. We might flip a coin and that's how I'm probably going to do this because there could be way too much. No. I will let the winning team. The winning team can decide who goes first in picking the bro in the bro challenge. That is it. That is the challenge for next week. Saturday cannot come soon enough. I am excited. I am pumped. Let the controversy begin. All right, everybody, go attack your Monday. Bye. This episode is brought to you by Bond Charge. Are you stressed out? Do your muscles ache? Are you looking for a way to get better sleep? Well then, Boncharge is for you. What's Boncharge? Boncharge is a company that makes an infrared sleeping bag that is serving as a sauna. I'll say that again. It's an infrared sleeping bag that actually acts as an in-home sauna. You plug it in, it heats up, you lay down inside of it, you do absolutely nothing. You get a sick sweat session in, you calm down, you decompress, life is easy. You get out, you dry off, you unplug it, you dry your infrared, your little sleeping bag off, you put it away, and you're done. If you want to get the benefits of this all in your house without having to go to a spa, without having to go to a resort, or go to some nasty, disgusting gym and get into their sauna that you don't even know how well they're cleaning it, just go. I'm gonna just not even going to give you a website. Just Google Boncharge. That's Boncharge. That's Boncharge. And if you put in the code Mahoney, Mahoney, that's M-A-H-O-N-E-Y, you will get 15% savings. If you can't remember any of this, don't worry. It'll be in the show notes. Just click on the link right in the show notes. All right, enjoy the rest of your day.